Okay, so the readings from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. You okay? Good. So you're probably used to seeing me stand up here on any given Sunday morning, but it's a long time since I've spoken on a Sunday. So thank you for having me here to speak with you this morning. Shall we pray before we begin? Father, may the words we hear this morning be from you. And would you open our hearts to listen and our minds to understand and give us the faith to put it into action as well. In Jesus' name. So, today is, there's a bit of a clue on the screen, but today is anybody interested in Environment Sunday? Now, full disclosure, I am not the eco-warrior in our house. That mantle has very much been taken up by Lauren. I have been known to leave the house with a number of lights on, and I do enjoy long showers. But I do feel that I'm pretty good at recycling. So if you live in England, you'll be familiar with the red bin, blue bin being everything. Cardboard and paper, and red being for everything else. And in our house, we have small versions of those inside. And when they get full, it's my job to go and empty them. And I get quite passionate when things get put in the wrong bin, because it's not that difficult, is it? There's cardboard and paper, and everything else. But that's just our house. Maybe it's the same in yours too. Now, I've been on a bit of a journey with this kind of stuff as I've been thinking about what to put into this talk and to prepare for it. And I'm interested to know where we are as a church on all of this environmental stuff. So we're going to try something here, and I'm going to ask you to get your phones out, which is. Not something that we usually do during a talk or during a sermon, but we're going to get a bit interactive here this morning. So could you get your phones out and, if this works, wait, there we go. So if you go to menti.com, and you can scan that code if it's big enough, or you can just put in the numbers. And I appreciate not all of you have smartphones, so if you don't, then feel free to buddy up and form a small group. But we're going to try it. Let's give it a go. Have we been able to get in? Waiting for me? Waiting for presenter, all right. What does it say now? Cool, right. So we're going to try just a simple word association first. Are you getting your phone, Liz? Okay. we're just going to try a simple word association and try and build some kind of collective consciousness of where we all are on this kind of stuff as a church. So what it's asking you to do is in the boxes that you see on your phone, you know, if I say to you environmental issues, what kind of words does that conjure up in your mind? And just you know, bit of word association. And as you put them in and say submit, then they should start appearing on the screen. Yeah, it's just at the top there. So it's 6787360. So yeah, try to give short one or two word answers like we are doing. And we'll just keep going with this for a bit. So we've got things on there. Climate change is a big one. Flooding, recycling, microplastics, carbon waste, clothing production. Yeah, all good stuff. Climate change seems to be the biggest one. Give it a few more seconds. Weather. It's cool, isn't it? All right, let's try the next one. So, there you go. Where would you rate yourself in one of these four boxes? So, are you oblivious? You know, climate crisis. What climate crisis? Are you aware? You know, you know that there's a problem, but it doesn't really kind of affect your day-to-day life. Are you environmentally conscious? So, you know, environmental issues are on your mind, and it does affect decisions that you make each day. Or are you some sort of activist? So I'm not suggesting that you're gluing yourselves onto the road, but you know, you are an advocate for change in your communities, and you push for that kind of thing. That's great. So at the moment, 80% say they're environmentally conscious, 20% are environmentally aware. Any more? Anyone going to be brave and say they're an activist? All right, that's great. We'll leave it there. So I think it's fair to say that we all have, you know, a pretty good idea of some of the problems and challenges that we're facing. But does it really affect our lives here in the UK, and do we grasp the severity of the issues that we're facing? And I know for me that the answer is probably not. So what I'd like to do this morning is take you on, you know, a bit of a journey similar to the one that I've been on, and I'm still on myself. And I'm going to start by sharing some cold hard facts with you about where we are with this stuff. As a planet, and then explore together what, if anything, the Bible teaches us on the environment, and what the Bible has to say. Sound good?
Yeah.
Cool. Because I haven't got anything else prepared, so I don't know what I would have said if you said no. Anyway, so the what we're going to do to, you know, to sort of present these facts to you is actually a bit of a quiz with this stuff again. So the way that this is going to work is five questions will come up on the screen, and you'll get 30 seconds to answer each one. Okay? And the quicker you answer, the more points you get. And there is a competitive element to this. There's no prizes, just the pride of winning. But after every question, the top leaders will be displayed on the screen. Okay? So. Yeah. Are you ready? All right. Question number one. How many tons of plastic are floating around on the surface of our oceans? Ready? I'm going to say start. You've got 30 seconds. Anyone got any ideas? 15 responses, 16. 10 seconds left. So yeah, the answer is actually 269,000 tons. And when I first heard that, I thought, well, that it's not as much as I thought, like some of you guys. And then you know, a lot of this stuff that's floating around on the oceans doesn't really weigh that much because it's plastic. So I converted that into 4-pint milk bottles or milk cartons. And if 269,000 tons of 4-pint milk cartons, you would need 5.6 billion of them. And if you put them end to end in a line, they would reach up to the moon, come back to Earth, and then almost get back to the moon again. And that's a big number. That's a huge amount. And scientists are still trying to work out, you know, what happens to all this stuff as it starts breaking down in our oceans and how that affects marine biology. Next question. Oh, yeah, leaderboard. Who's at the top? Oh! Strong start by Nicola and Comfy. Well, it's not always going to be the middle. Right, next question. How many extreme weather events have been recorded since 1970? So extreme weather being things like forest fires, floods, earthquakes, droughts. You can't copy. Five seconds. Everyone has voted. The answer is 11,000. And of that 11,000, 7,000 have been recorded since the year 2000. And scientists estimate that those extreme weather events are responsible for over 2 million deaths and economic losses of $3.64 trillion. And again, you know, huge, huge numbers. Who's in the lead? You kept your top spot, Nicola. Oh. Kofi's pipped you. Kofi in the lead, Nicola. Who's ET? Adam at the back. Right, next. So the question is, how much of the energy we consume globally comes from renewable energy sources? 30 seconds starts now. Or now. Oh, the pictures kind of covered them up, but hopefully you can see them on your phones. Everyone's voted, all right? 10 seconds to spare. So 4 people got that right. So the exact answer is 14.21%, which is an increase from just under 8% since the year 2000. But it still doesn't sound like a huge amount to me, does it? And the burning of fossil fuels is still far and away the biggest contributor to carbon dioxide emissions around the world. Woo. Could have some change at the top. Nemo. Nemo is the fastest. Is that you? Did you have a conversation about who can come up with the strangest name at the back? Okay. I'll be Nemo and you be E.T. All right. So we've got a couple more questions left. How much has the global sea level risen by since the year 1900? Fifteen seconds left. Only one person got that right. The answer was 21 centimeters. Again, to me, that didn't initially sound like a huge amount. But then when you think that the surface of the Earth is 70% ocean, that's a lot of water. And again, scientists think that over 7.5 billion tons of ice was lost to the oceans between 1922 and 2020. And 612 billion of that was in 2019 alone. So the rising temperatures and, you know, all this extra water around just means there's a lot more moisture in the air now than there used to be, which contributes to all of those extreme weather events. And then last question. Oh, Sue's in the lead. It's all about speed. Oh, Montana got that one right. Oh, you've changed your name. There you go. Nemo's now Daisy. Well done, Daisy. Still on top. Can you keep it going into the last question? So, start. Approximately, how many species become extinct each year? And this is across, it's not just animals, it's, you know, all wildlife. Three seconds. Everyone's voted. So there's actually 2 right answers here. So the 200 to 2,000 is the lower estimate, and 10,000 to 100,000 is the higher estimate of the two. Okay. Who's won? No drum roll, Rich. We don't need that. Oh, Daisy won. Well done, Daisy. All right, good stuff. So, you know, although that was a bit of fun, there's some pretty shocking stuff in there, wasn't there? And that information, you know, I haven't gathered from dark corners of the internet or conspiracy theories or anything like that. They came from space agencies, National Geographic, WWF. And while you know a lot of those numbers were approximations, the picture that they paint, I think, is fairly clear. You know, we're not in good shape, and our planet is hurting. And the one that got me the most was that last one. You know, it's awful to think that some of this stuff that God created will never be seen on the earth again. So what, if anything, does the Bible say on all of this? Obviously, the world was a very different place, you know, a few thousand years ago. Does it have anything relevant to say on how we should tackle these problems and our, you know, the attitude that we should have towards our planet? And I think it does. So let's explore some of that together by going back to the word that Catherine read to us before. It's probably a passage that you're all pretty familiar with, so I want to zoom kind of right down into the detail of it and pick out one or two key words that I think do speak to us on these issues. So verse 28 says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And this is the very first thing that God says to us. So that, you know, that tells me that this is quite important. And specifically, I want to explore what these two words mean. So subdue and to have dominion. Because you know, when I first read those, they sound quite extreme to me. At least they did initially. Because if you subdue or dominate something, it doesn't sound like that thing has much of a say in the matter at all. And that's kind of right to an extent. God does give us power and authority over every living creature and the resources of this world, but he asks us to exercise that authority in a certain way. So the word subdue, I'm going to butcher this, but it's translated from the Hebrew word. I can't even say Hebrew, let alone the word itself. But it's this word here, which I think sounds something like kavash. Okay? And subdue is quite a good translation of that word, but the way that it's used here and the grammar around it suggests that the subduing applies to all of the earth and not just the animal kingdom. Okay? And the second key word that I want to pull out is this verb here, which is wordu. Again, I probably butchered that, but it's often translated as to rule or to have dominion over in this particular verse. But it also has this meaning of exercising authority that has been granted or given. Okay, so exercising authority that's been granted or given, and this command to subdue and to rule the world is given in the context of God's blessing that he opens up with in at the start of verse 28. It's not a license to abuse our planet and to serve only ourselves, but it's a contract to care for our planet and all of its resources. And the message, as is often the case, puts it well and translates it like this. God bless them, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge, be responsible for the sea, for the fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. We have a responsibility to this world to care for it and to look after it. And all of this also comes in the context of being commanded to fill the earth. You know, God could have filled the earth with anything that he wanted to. And in the first 5 days, that's exactly what he did. You know, we weren't involved in any of that. But then day six comes, And he says, let us make human beings in our own image. And have you ever noticed that before? So let there be light, let there be water, let there be sky, let there be land, let there be living creatures, but let us make human beings in our own image. You know, we are set apart from the rest of creation. And he asks us to be co-creators with him. God has entrusted us to continue the work of creation that he started here on the earth. And that's an awesome privilege, isn't it? And as the saying goes, with great privilege comes great responsibility. So we are called to subdue and to rule this world, but in the context of the authority that God has given to us. And that in itself is within the context of being commanded to fill the earth and to be co-creators with God himself. And all of that is wrapped up in the context of being made in the image of God. You know, our almighty, all-powerful creator God, who literally spoke things into existence, who willed the world into existence. God creates a lot of things. He is super productive. But also, everything that he makes and everything that he creates is good. All of God's creation shows design, power, and goodness. You know, God creates beautiful things. You don't see a bad sunset or an ugly mountain range, do you? And if you were lucky enough to see the Northern Lights over the last couple of evenings, then it's hard to look at that and not see the Creator in all of that. But you can't always say the same about the things that we create, can you? So we are called to subdue and to rule this world, but in the context of the authority that God has given us. And we are also called to be co-creators with God in the context of being made in his image. He is the original, and we are the reflection. So what does that mean for us today? And we know from looking at the world around us and hearing the news and some of those facts and figures that we looked at before, we have not been creating in the context and the authority that God has given us. We have been creating irresponsibly as a human race. So I think it's more important today than ever to listen again to that very first thing that God asks us to do. To hear that command again, to subdue and to rule this world, but within the authority that God gives us. To be co-creators with him, but to remember that we reflect the Creator. And there will be things that we can all do to live more responsibly in this world and to take better care of it. And many of us will be doing some of those things already. But let's not just do it because it's the right and the good thing to do. Let's make a choice to take better care of this planet and to be more aware of how our actions can have global consequences, because it is the very first thing that God asks of us.